And welcome back to Fully Equipped, golf's gear-focused podcast where we take weekly PGA Tour news and relate it to golfers of all skill levels. I'm Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor for Equipment at Golf.com, joined as always by Andrew Tursky, Senior Equipment Editor for Golf.com as well. Tursky, what's going on, man? Happy New Year.
Is there anything going on this week in the golf world?
I don't know. Was there anything going on? I've been too busy with club test stuff. We got a couple of things going on. It is a new year. And with a new year comes, people joke with me that I love equipment signing season more than Christmas.
You do?
Maybe I do. I really do enjoy signing season. A lot of the banter and rumors leading up to January 1, that is a really fun part of the year because you're trying to kind of find out what's real and what's not. And there were a couple of them, thankfully it was TaylorMade's Christmas card that that actually revealed a few of these big signings. The biggest of all, Tursky, Rahm to Callaway. How surprised were you to see Rahm jump from one rival to the next?
Rahm went to Callaway? I didn't see that.
Feels like every year there's like one worst kept secret. Recently it was Justin Rose to Hanma. Mm-hmm. I know that was short lived, but yeah, this one kind of felt similar. It just seemed like everybody was talking about it, but nobody was ready to announce it until the embargo lifted on the news. But yeah, Rahm to Callaway is going to be by far the biggest news of 2021.
I mean, the rumors of it almost took away from like how big the signing actually is. This is one of the biggest signings of the last decade. I mean, Rahm, he just got to number one, and he's world number two right now. So you don't often see players of that caliber making a big name switch like this. I mean, from TaylorMade to Callaway too, the two big dogs, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And John Rahm's not the only former TaylorMade staffer who's going to be making a jump. Jason Day was not in the Christmas card. All signs point to Day going the brand agnostic route, which isn't surprising. We've seen a lot of big names before they've signed a new club deal go that direction just to kind of try and get right with their setup. And I know Day's had some injuries and whatnot, so not surprised to see him potentially go in that direction. And there are going to be some other signings. I think people are probably wondering, why is it so slow to start the year? I know a bunch of them are probably going to be announced the week of Sony. And as these players start their new season, we're going to hear more of these announcements coming. But there's more than announcements. There are a couple of tour topics that we definitely need to get into, Tursky. One of them, I feel like we discuss this one a lot, Adam Scott changing putters. ? I mean, maybe he is. I know that he has a couple of putters that he tests on a frequent basis during practice rounds. They never make it into play. Got to talk about Scotty's putter. TaylorMade Sim 2, it's out in the wild, and there are a couple of big names that are using it. Wanted to discuss that. And also another big driver dropped at Century, Callaway's new Epic. It's on the conforming list. I posted photos of John Rahm with it on social media, so let's discuss that as well. But first off, Adam Scott and the putter. Again, we talk about Adam Scott and the putter a lot. He went back to the broomstick. Then he was using, standard length, and now we get photos of him using, would you say it's arm lock? It's definitely the like Kuchar-esque style super stroke grip.
It definitely looks like an arm lock to me, but I just saw him carrying it around. I haven't seen him actually set up to a putt or what his grip looks like, so that kind of adds to the suspense of it. But like you mentioned, he always brings out putters midweek, and he kind of just messes around with them. I asked him about it one time. It's like, why do you do that? He just likes seeing something new, so like he goes back to something old during the week, and then by the time he gets it in play and competition, he goes back to his old putter. It's like fresh. It's like a breath of fresh air, and he's excited to use it. So, I mean, that's a weird way to go about things. I don't necessarily recommend that, but
it's funny that you mentioned that because, and I can't take credit for this. This is good buddy Andy Johnson over at the Fried Egg. He was one of the guys who a while back had suggested that Adam Scott should carry four putters and switch up into a new putter every three holes because he could never build up that mental scar tissue with any one putter. And I thought he was crazy when he brought up the idea, but the more that I think about it, it's like, I mean, Adam Scott carries like three or four putters during a practice round and rolls putts at them just to kind of try and keep it fresh. Maybe he's better off putting two in the bag.
He's such a good ball striker. Like, just take out the 9-iron, take out the 6-iron, just get rid of him. He can make it work with the other ones. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys, I think, kind of similar to, you know, not to pick on some other guys out on tour, but, you know, Rory McIlroy comes to mind, a guy who's just an insane ball striker. But, you know, for long stretches over his career, he's struggled with the putter.
Yeah.
You know, it's never really been a strong suit. And I know he kind of figured something out when he went to Spider. But, again, a guy that we've seen kind of tinker with the putter and never really quite find one that has stuck. But, yeah, you know, you're right, though, about Adam Scott. I didn't even think about that. We've seen photos of him carrying it around, but we haven't seen him set up. But it does look like an arm lock grip. You know, for those that aren't familiar with arm lock, it's the one putting style when they banned anchoring the putter. It was the one putting style that was actually kind of grandfather clawsed in. It's been called the Kuchar method. It's where you basically take, you know, a slightly longer putter, not one that's anchored, you know, anywhere close to your chest, but just kind of up your forearm, and you rest it there against your forearm, kind of have that forward lean in it. And then it's able to kind of act like it's basically an extension of your arm. There are some golfers that have claimed that you know, this form of putting is also, you know, it's anchoring, it's cheating. You know, there are a lot of tour players that have had success with it. I think one of them, we got to point out, Webb Simpson.
Yep.
You know, Webb's been using, you know, the arm lock method with a lot of success, in addition to Matt Kuchar. But yeah, it is one of those methods that we have seen players go on to win with it. So not surprised, maybe see Adam Scott try it out as well.
It's been a saving grace for those guys who were in the long putter anchoring. They kind of found a way to keep playing, really. You know, so I'm not shocked to see Scott at least trying this. He obviously found some pretty nice success using the broomstick, just not anchoring it. So I don't know. He's always kind of a mess when it comes to the putter, but he keeps it entertaining for us. So I'm
on board. To say he has all the gold for our podcast. So I don't mind if he keeps tinkering with the putter.
Thanks for the content, Scotty.
That's right. All right. So TaylorMade Sim 2. It is now out in the wild, as I said at the beginning of the podcast. This is going to be the follow-up to Sim, which was TaylorMade's had a lot of very successful drivers. I would dare say Sim's probably in that like top five most successful. It was one of those products where we saw a lot of tour players, not just guys on staff with TaylorMade who are paid to play the product, but, you know, the ones that I would always say, if you want to see what's successful or popular on tour, look at the guys that aren't under contract. Look mm-hmm. at the brand agnostic guys. We saw a lot of them using Sim product. And, you know, that usually tells you if something is kind of worth its weight. And this is, again, the follow-up. And it's got a pretty eye-catching color, Tursky. That's like an electric blue that's running there along the back of the golf club from the heel to the toe. That's not something that you're going to be able to miss when we're trying to scour for who's making changes.
Yeah, that's a new color from TaylorMade. I think the last time, maybe it was like the Slider S where they used the blue, and the Slider, they had a little bit of blue in there. But I don't remember a lot in recent years with the blue from TaylorMade, do you?
No, that's a very, very aggressive blue is mm-hmm. probably the way that I would call it. Looks like, based on some of the photos that I saw, you know, this one's been on the USG conforming list, but it's always tough to really kind of tell because it's, you know, black and white photos. Mm-hmm. But it looks like there's more carbon fiber in the bottom of that sole. And that what that probably tells me is that if they're, you know, adding that material to the bottom of the club, they're probably able to remove some weight from the bottom of the head. My guess, just from having been in the industry for so long, is they're probably trying to move it towards the outer areas of the club, maybe yep. towards the back of the heel and the toe, to try and add some more stability to the head. You know, carbon fiber has just exploded. It feels like everybody now is using carbon fiber in some form or fashion for their metal woods. But yeah, this looks like a pretty interesting product coming from TaylorMade. A little bit of you know, similar shaping in the sole to the Sim product. It looks like maybe there's a slightly larger weight there in the very back of the head, which, you know, something like that might be able to help with forgiveness, maybe give you a little bit higher launch. But yeah, it's out there. Colin Morikawa and Dustin Johnson were both photographed with the new driver, although I saw Morikawa also had the sim, so I'm sure he's still doing some on-course head-to-head testing. But an interesting, and this is like totally unfounded, I did find it very interesting though. Somebody mentioned, there's a photo of Morikawa, and I posted it on my social feed, at Jonathan R. Wall. Also, I think I posted it on our Fully Equipped account as well, which is at @fully_equipped on Twitter. But they pointed out, they said, it looks like Morikawa's using a 47-inch shaft that just looks visually like it's a longer driver, which I thought was interesting. I have no intel on that quite yet, but just the thought of a guy like Morikawa going to a longer driver. He's so insanely accurate. Like, what if he could add some additional distance? I mean, that's a scary combination.
I mean, that's who the 47 or 48-inch drivers make sense for to me. They don't miss the center of the face, so it's like you might as well get a little bit more speed out of it. And, I mean, DJ using a new driver, least shocking thing I've ever seen. You knew he was going to switch week one.
he's going to use, like he almost always does, he'll use both of the driver models that are more geared for tour. He'll use them at the beginning of the season. He'll probably win with both. And he'll just switch back and forth the rest of the season until he kind of gets comfortable with one. I mean, he has. I went back in the record books to look, and it's like there was a stretch of 4 or 5 years where he won with both TaylorMade driver models.
Yep. I mean, that shows you how good Dustin is and how easily he changes drivers too.
Well, now, for sure. And the fact that he's able to kind of, and I've talked to Keith Sbarbaro, TaylorMade's had a tour about this, but DJ will kind of use whatever driver fits the golf course and the conditions that week. You know, that's not out of the realm of possibility for him to just say, well, it's going to be windy this week, I'm going to use the driver that's a little bit more penetrating ball flight just for that reason. So yeah, he's always had success with both of them.
It also, it doesn't surprise me, without giving away the tech, I know it's all under embargo, but, through our player testing, we saw it with the Sim 2, a lot of fade bias ball flight. And for someone like Dustin, who prefers a fade, it just makes all the sense in the world for him to just go right into that product.
Yeah, for sure. All right, from one new driver to another one, Callaway bringing out the new Epic Speed and Epic Speed Max. These also, like the Sim 2 product from TaylorMade, out on the conforming list. A little bit later than the Sim 2, they're out this week, and that is due in large part to the new signing, John Rahm. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's already using the new Epic Speed, although I did notice he still has his usual Alder Latour green shaft. So not
he
trying
ain't changing
to make a ton
that.
Of change. Yeah.
He's never changing that.
We talked to Jacob Davidson, Callaway's head of tour, about this. You know, Rahm is willing to make changes to the gear, but when it comes to the shafts, spec-wise, he's not a guy who's going to be making a lot of tinker. You know, he's not going to tinker, he's not going to change. So not a huge surprise to see him still in the same shaft. But I mean, what are your thoughts on this one, Tursky? It looks pretty mean. I'm digging this kind of like dark finish with the green, and I don't know if that's, it looks kind of white, maybe a little bit of silver there. Just going off the photos of seeing Rahm with the driver.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a lot more white out on the toe. But Callaway didn't just put up one or two drivers on the conforming list. They have six. They got six new options, which is a lot. Now we know from the past, you know, there's probably some tour prototypes in there and some stuff that may not even sniff retail. But, you know, they want to get all the options out for guys like Rahm and Xander and whoever else is doing testing out there to make sure they get the product that they want. But I was curious about the one driver that's called DS. What do you think DS stands for? Is that draw spin? Because I was trying to look where the weight was at, but it didn't look like it was in the heel as you'd expect.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, draw spin maybe. It just, to me, it is surprising when you see an OEM come out with six drivers. I think some people are like, man, that's excessive. But I think it just goes to show you, as you mentioned, you know, if Callaway has a guy on their staff who's looking for something very specific, you know, you're going to want to get your guy what he wants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw it with the Triple Diamond with Maverick. That was a really successful version for Callaway. And, you know, again, it's not surprising to see some potential new versions, whether specifically for one player or a handful of guys. You know, it happens, and this is the time of the year that you got to get those clubs on the conforming list and make sure that they're ready to play when those guys tee it up.
I have a feeling that some people, when they see like six drivers, they kind of roll their eyes, but you got to remember that, you know, it's not just for the pros, for the amateurs too. You want to get a driver that suits your game, your swing style. And, you know, adjustability is great, but they're actually designing specific heads for different ball flights now. I mean, I don't see how that's really a bad thing if you're in the market and you're looking for something that's perfect for your game, you know?
Yeah,
not sure. To defend, but yeah, it makes sense from a fitting standpoint, you know?
Yeah, you know, and with TaylorMade and Callaway with their new drivers out, you know, I think we're kind of coming to the end of the road a little bit as far as, you know, knowing what's going to be out in the marketplace. And, you know, I think based on what Jacob was saying, the new Callaway product's been getting rave reviews early on. Tighter dispersion seems to be something that a lot of the players were discussing as something that they really liked during testing. Again, Jacob couldn't tell us everything, but definitely seems to be more stable this year. And who knows, maybe we're going to see some serious head-to-head battles out on tour between the new Epic product from Callaway and the new Sim 2 from TaylorMade.
I'm looking at Brooks Koepka to give me that answer about who's going to win, because he plays both, right? I mean, he went back between the Maverick and TaylorMade last year, so.
Well, and then he ended up going back to M5.
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the place, so, you know, yeah. If you want to see what product is working, look at the free agents. That's where I like to look at.
Yeah. All right, before we end this episode, Tursky, I got to get you to look into your crystal ball here.
Okay.
I want you to tell me one realistic storyline that you see happening in 2021 and one storyline that you want to see happen but maybe is a little bit more unrealistic.
Man, you're putting me on the spot here. Okay. One I think is going to happen, I think DJ goes to either a 47 or 47 and a half for the Masters.
Okay.
And then what I hope will happen, I hope Tiger Woods does the same thing, puts in a 48-inch driver, and then he wins the Masters. What? How can you get a better storyline than that?
Yeah. I think the more realistic, if I'm looking into my crystal ball, Bryson DeChambeau puts 48 inches in the bag, wins, and this becomes...
Wins what?
Wins a PGA Tour event.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying a major. I'm not going that far. That's
okay. Well, I went out and already said the Masters. Yeah. So.
But yeah, I say he wins a PGA Tour event, and long drivers just become the norm on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
I think the one that I want to see happen was what we saw at the end of last year, where we saw a couple of guys put two drivers in the bag. I want to see some chaos in terms of like gear changes. I want to see guys start totally just screwing with their bag setups just to get two drivers in the bag. One like 47 and a half or 48, and then like a standard like 44 and a half, 45. I want to see some chaos.
I really want Bryson to go like three or four drivers. I want Adam Scott, two or three putters. Like, let's get this thing going.
It's going to happen. But I think both of our realistic ones, I think by the end of this year, I would not be surprised if we follow up on these and they, you know, whether they're still a thing or they were at some point during the year, I'm not going to be surprised if long drivers really take the tour by storm this year. All right. Well, Tursky, we didn't do any sort of gift giveaways for the holidays. Maybe you and I are just Scrooge. I think we just forgot.
We're just waiting for the new year.
Yeah, we are. But we do have a giveaway to start out 2021. If you haven't listened, over the last couple episodes, we had a chance to interview Garen Reif, who's the founder of Even Roll Putters. And it was an awesome interview. But one of the things that that came out of that interview is Even Roll wanted to do a putter giveaway. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away one of Even Roll's brand new V-Series putters. It's not just going to be the putter that you're going to get. You're also going to get a virtual fitting, in addition to a signed custom head cover by Garen Reif. We're going to have full details up on our social media pages at @fully_equipped on Twitter and at @fullyequippedgolf on Instagram as far as what you need to do to get entered. But yeah, I'm Tursky. free putter to start the year, start fresh, clean slate, maybe make a few more putts.
This is a good giveaway. I like this giveaway. Can I enter?
Just create a fake Instagram account and enter.
I need a burner. See what happens. Yeah, I need a burner.
Roll the dice. See if you have to provide an address.
Okay, so make sure you guys enter into that. I know you want to hear about Jon Rahm switch to Callaway, and we went deep with Jacob Davidson, Callaway's PGA Tour manager. We spoke to him for about 30 minutes, so enjoy that interview.
All right, well, 2021 equipment signing season is here, and I'll go on record, Tursky, I would say you probably would as well, as saying there will not be a bigger announcement than Jon Rahm to Callaway. We're excited to have Callaway PGA Tour manager Jacob Davidson on to offer his insights on Rahm, the signing, and the testing process. Jacob, happy new year, and thanks for taking the time for Fully Equipped.
Happy new year, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here, and we're tremendously excited to welcome John to the Callaway family. He's just been a pleasure to work with, and I know that we just want to extend from the Callaway family a huge congratulations to him, and we're happy to have him.
It's one of the biggest signings of the last like 10 years. So congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
For sure. So first things first, Jacob, I know you spend a lot of your time working with players out on tour, but what was your involvement like during the kind of the courting process for Rahm?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jonathan. You know, we've admired John's game for a long time. We've had a relationship with him from back when he played at ASU. He played a lot of our equipment on and off throughout his college career. And so, we've just tried to stay in close contact with him and really, we've enjoyed watching him grow as a player and as a person. And so, when we knew the opportunity was going to present itself at the end of this year, we had, a couple months ago, it started the process of working with our internal team, R&D, our tour team. We spent a lot of time really deep diving into analytics and his stats. And we wanted to make sure that when we had an opportunity to test with him, we put in a great first impression and wowed him and showed him a lot of the success that we've been having, with guys like Xander Schauffele and the success that we've made and innovation with jailbreak technology and AI and, innovation and technology that we have in our ball factory. So it's been a long process for us, and it's been really a team effort as far as from, Alan Hocknell and his crew and R&D and to Tim Reed and Kellen Watson and Dean Teckle. So it's been fun. It was a little bit of a COVID project.
Yeah. So I know, speaking of Kellen, I know he's out in Hawaii this week. Yeah. Jon Rahm, for those who don't know, is making his tour debut at Century. Realize as we're recording this podcast, it's a Wednesday, so things can change. But what can you tell us about where Rahm is with his Callaway setup going into Thursday?
Sure. So, there's obviously going to be a transition process. And for us, we want John to obviously make sure that everything is right in his bag before he moves forward with full confidence. And I think that early indications are, which is encouraging, is that he's going to be in a Callaway Epic prototype driver. I think that there'll be a couple fairway woods in there, Maverick fairway woods, and then a set of Apex prototype irons, as well as some Jaws Forge wedges. So we're excited about that. I think that's very encouraging that he's seen the results so quickly and feels like he's comfortable, moving forward with his first event. I think that, we've all maybe heard by now that, his first event his first time out playing with the golf ball and 14 Callaway clubs at his home course, he broke the course record and shot 59.
We want to get to that one.
So I think that was a great start. And, we've just been working with John over the last couple of weeks and really, the transition has been very smooth.
I know you guys said you did your research on Jon Rahm, like from a performance standpoint before even signing him. What kind of makes Jon Rahm different from other players that you've worked with? Like, what did you notice in your research and how is that stacked up since he's actually part of the team now?
Yeah. So we have a great question, Andrew. We have an analytics division that, we take a deep dive into all these players' games. And when you take a world-class player like John, who's already established himself as one of the best in the world, and you break down, each part of his game, he's a phenomenal driver of the golf ball. You know, he's a great putter. If there's one area where we feel like he can improve and we can help him, it is really inside 150 yards. If you look at his stats in those areas, they're not as world-class as some of the other people. And that was one of the things that we focused on in the recruitment process and the testing process is, you know, how can we help him in these areas get better? And I think that, you know, when you look at the stats, let's say, you know, someone from 125 to 150 yards proximity to the hole from the fairway on the PGA Tour, the difference in the guy that's number one and the guy that's 50th is about 3 feet. So we're not talking very much here. And so, you know, our goal as a tour department is we're just looking to try to make our players just a couple of feet better each week, and that can make a difference. So I think that John saw that as he came in, specifically with the ChromeSoft X golf ball. You know, he felt like he could control the trajectory and the launch a little bit better with his wedges and around the greens. He saw an increase in spin around the greens, which I think we all know John has an unbelievable set of hands, and watching him chip and pitch is, you know, something you could do all day. So it was fun watching him hit different shots with, you know, the new ChromeSoft X and him get excited about some of the stuff that he could hit. So we're really excited about that. And hopefully, you know, as a team working with his team, you know, we can help him improve in that area.
I always see when guys are making like big brand switches, when they change their golf ball, I see that as like probably the most difficult part of the process, or the most impactful at least. Was he nervous about changing golf ball, and what were kind of like the early testing sessions like there?
Yeah. So with John, you know, with the golf ball, as he initially came in, we knew that we felt like our golf ball, because of the performance screen side, was going to be very advantageous to him. So when he came in, we initially just went through the bag with him and had him hit a couple different golf balls, and quickly, you know, based on the spin numbers, we knew that he would fall in line with our ChromeSoft X, which is our most popular ball on the PGA Tour and really globally. So from there, you know, we introduced the golf ball to him. We gave him a bucket of balls, and, you know, we knew that in order to win over his trust with the golf ball, we needed to work from the green backwards. And so he went over to the pitching green at the ECPC, the Ely Callaway Performance Center, and just started hitting shots. And he's hitting shots with our golf ball and his previous golf ball, and was comparing, you know, how they were coming out from a launch perspective, how they were reacting into the green. And so I think from that point, he got really excited because he saw some things that he hasn't seen before. And then from there, we went back to the middle of the bag, and it was a windy day. So we were able to test some different shots. And John's very much a field player and wants to hit all different types of shots, really doesn't hit the same shot twice in a row. So he felt comfortable with how the ball was performing in the wind. And then from there, we moved into the woods. And once we got to the driver, he saw the increase in ball speed over what he was playing as well. So when we added up at the end of the day, the new Callaway Speed prototype driver and the ChromeSoft X20, and really saw that there was a gain in ball speed plus more feel around the green and better trajectory, I think that's when, you know, he got really excited about maybe potentially joining Callaway. And from there, you know, we just kind of moved forward and things went smoothly.
You know, you spend all your time working with these elite level players. You know, they don't miss all that often. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be fun to test with those guys. But what is it that you kind of noticed, kind of first impressions about John Rahm when it comes to testing? What kind of separates him from some of the other guys on the Callaway staff?
Sure. I think that, you know, we got a great staff of guys around him. You know, Xander is so much fun to work with. Mark Leishman, Kevin Kisner, Kevin Na. You know, so those guys, everyone's different, right? They each have different personalities. And that's one of our jobs as reps is, you know, learning to communicate differently to who we're working with. You know, some guys are very serious. Some guys are very analytical. Some guys, you know, like to joke around and have a good time. You know, John has a great sense of humor. He's funny. He's sarcastic. He's very laid back. He likes to have fun. He likes to be sarcastic. He likes to be, you know, challenged and tell him that he can't do something. So I think initially when we were there, you know, Kellen Watson, Tim Reed, and myself were working with him. There was just an initial connection that, you know, we were going to have fun. I think that, you know, we went into the fitting and the testing process of saying, you know, hey, John, We feel like we've done our homework. We built you a great set of golf clubs. We'll let the results and the launch monitors speak for themselves, you know, and go from there. And I think that, you know, because we had that laid back mentality with him, I think that that's something, you know, probably from his culture and upbringing overseas, he connected well with. So it was a ton of fun. You know, he's fun to hang out with. He demands a lot, and he's very sensitive to equipment and equipment changes, and he will let you know after one or two swings if it's right or wrong. The other thing that's very unique about John is his ability to articulate what he's feeling. And I think for a younger player like himself, that's a character trait that we don't see as often. And when someone is able to take those feels and really articulate it to us in a way that is meaningful and impactful, it allows us the opportunity to make adjustments really quickly and really, you know, fine tune that equipment to where we see optimal numbers very quickly. And that's what happened with John.
Kind of along those lines, I'm curious about, especially for someone like Rahm, who's, you know, he's world number two player, big name, kind of roll out the red carpet for him. What does the prototyping process look like when it comes to woods or irons? Like, is he hitting retail and then kind of telling you what he wants to change, whether it's the toe or the offset or thin out the top line, or like, how does that process work?
Sure. I think that, you know, our whole design team, our tour team, we came into this fitting very prepared. And, you know, the stuff that we brought John initially was almost ready to go. It was just a couple minor changes. We ran them through, you know, something that we do with all of our tour players now is what we call a performance combine at our test center, and really just dialed in every club. We looked at every club individually, not just a set of irons and, you know, all the specs that go along with that. And that's a 3 or 4 hour process. And I think that, you know, he absolutely loved the Apex prototype irons, the look of them. He loved the turf interaction, the bounce. So for us, you know, he stayed in the same shafts. John doesn't change much. He's not a tinkerer. If you look at, you know, what he's done historically, we went back and looked at a lot of the specs that he played in college, and really they haven't changed much at all. You know, Project X, 6.5 shafts. He's still playing the Auto Latour Green, you know, wood shafts. And so for us, you know, it wasn't very difficult and fortunate for us. I think that the new product that we have coming, these new metal woods, we spent a tremendous amount of time on lockdown and COVID with our R&D department and Tim Reed and Evan Gibbs and Alan Hocknell and Dean and Kelly. We all spent hours upon hours on Zoom. So I think that this line of product that we have coming is probably the most tour inspired line that we've had in the last couple of years. And I think that, you know, that there's one positive that came out of the pandemic. It took us off the road and gave us a chance to really sit down and meet with those guys and share with them what we're seeing out there. And I think that, you know, the results that we saw with John, him hopefully more than likely putting it in play this week, I think is a really a testament of the work that the R&D team did and the tour team did collaborating this year.
You know, Rahm mentioned just because of the pandemic that he was unable to go home to Spain, which kind of actually allowed him to work more on his game. One of the things that he revealed to us was the fact that he, after signing, he spent 3 days grinding. He said from morning until night, and I'm not sure if he was exaggerating or not, but were you a part of those 3 days? Is that common for a guy who's just signed to come in and grind like that for 3 days on his equipment? And if so, kind of, can you walk us through what that process was like?
Yeah. One of the things we realized very early on, and we knew this about John, is he's one of the most competitive people you'll ever be around. You know, whatever you're doing, he's competitive. And coming into, you know, the fitting process, you know, he said, hey, look, I'm going to come in and we're not going to leave until we get this right. And you know, a little bit tough for us, right? We don't know how to book return travel or how many nights in the hotel or flights, you know, but I think that that's just his commitment to being the best. And he knows he's not going to settle for anything that's not right. You know, and he told us that. He said, look, you know, I will be here until the sun goes down and we'll come back. And I think that, you know, fortunately we didn't have to go down that process. You know, we spent a couple of days with him, got to know him, you know, worked through the stuff. And then from there, you know, he took the stuff back home and did some work on his own. That's when he, you know, played very well at his home course and shot 59. So he has a great short game facility in his backyard. So he spent countless hours, you know, chipping and pitching with the Chrome Soft X golf ball and the, you know, Mac Daddy Jaws wedges. And so, you know, he knows the shots that he can hit and he can't hit in his backyard, right? Because he wakes up every morning and hits those shots. So I think that was probably the ultimate, you know, final straw for him is when he took it back home and put it to test on his home course and then in his backyard. And he was seeing things that were different than he's seen before.
Are there any specific adjustments he's made to his wedges, like whether it's bounce or face or anything like that?
Yeah. So believe it or not, you know, he is playing stock wedges, no custom grinds or anything. And, you know, that was something Wow. We were prepared. We had a couple different options and, you know, he went right into just a stock 52, 56 and 60, the grinds just as they come. He loved the look of them. He loved the, you know, the progressive CG and how they work from, you know, the 52 through the 60. He loved the technology with the groove pattern with the jaws and was seeing an increase in spin. The turf interaction really was good. So, you know, that was something that I think, you know, working with Roger Cleveland and those guys, you know, they did an excellent job on helping get these wedges right. And I think that, you know, John, you know, it's just his hands around the green's impressive. And we probably saw him hit, I don't know, 500 chips or pitches into the Himalaya putting green that we have at our ECPC. And it was so much fun to see him and the different shots that he hits. And, you know, he's very talented around the green and really was doing things that with the golf ball from 30, 40 yards that I've never seen anyone do. So we're excited for that.
It's big words coming from Callaway with Phil on the staff.
So speaking of Phil, you know, John mentioned that Phil kind of played a role in just acting as a sounding board as he was kind of trying to weigh his options. Besides Phil, do you know, did Rom reach out to anybody else on the Callaway staff just to kind of get their take on the equipment and kind of their general overall feel for the tour staff?
Absolutely, he did. And we asked him to, you know, we wanted to be transparent through that process. And so he reached out to, you know, he's very close with Phil. They share the same agent. And so, you know, there was that connection there as well. But, you know, he reached out to multiple people on our staff, you know, caddies that we work with, and he did his due diligence. And, you know, I'm happy that he did that. And I think that, you know, ultimately what he came to the conclusion was, is he loved what we were doing at Callaway Golf. He loved that, you know, we're as a tour team trying to transfer from being seen as an equipment partner to more of a performance team. He loves the fact that, you know, we're doing deep dives into the analytics. He loves the innovation that our R&D department is committed to and the amount of money that we're spending. He loves, you know, the investments that we're making in other areas of growth as a company, such as, you know, Topgolf, which will be on his sleeve, and, you know, the Travis Matthew acquisition. And I think that fits, you know, a little bit of his lifestyle being in Scottsdale. And, you know, he's a very casual person, likes to have his shirt tail untucked. And so just the overall vibe of Travis Matthew and Callaway and where our company is going, I think really excited him to say, hey, this is the company that I want to align myself for the future and help me, you know, move back into the number one in the world and win a couple majors.
You guys obviously get into the details really well with data analytics and performance and really getting down into the numbers. What's something that like amateurs can kind of take from that? How can they incorporate that into their own games and improve?
Sure. I think that, you know, for the longest time, you know, just most people kept track of just the basic stats of fairways, greens and putts. And they felt like that would give them a good overview of their performance for the day. But, you know, there's so much, you know, better statistical analysis out there, just, you know, even with the PGA Tour shot link and the access that we have to that data. But, you know, I think that for the amateur, it's just go on PJTour.com and look at ShotLink and, you know, find realistic expectations. You know, if you look at a guy on the PJ Tour that's, you know, ranked 100th in proximity from a certain distance, you know, I think that a lot of guys would be open-minded to see that, hey, you know, they hit it to 25 feet. That's a pretty good shot. You know, look at the make percentage from different distances so that, you know, you have a better idea that, you know, if I'm outside 20, 25 feet, you know, maybe I shouldn't be trying to, you know, make the putt. Maybe I should just concentrate more so on getting good speed and two putting. So, you know, it's fun. We love it. I think that this is the way the game's going. You know, we're starting to see everyone chasing more optimal numbers and it's just, you know, it really is. We lose sleep and so much effort in our company goes into really just saying, hey, how can we find another couple inches or foot for Xander Schauffele or Phil Mickelson or John Rahm or, you know, some of the younger upcoming guys that we had, you know, in addition to John, you know, this year we signed Tyler McCumber, which is one of the, you know, best rookies on the PGA Tour last year. You know, we had Will Gordon and Eric Van Rooyen earn temporary status through play last year. So we're excited. We got four great, I think, young additions to our staff. And so, you know, from there, we're just not going to sleep until we can figure out how to help them play better.
I love Van Rooyen's game. Also, I'm a big joggers guy. So, you know, like his style. You know, one of the clubs that I think a lot of people hear recently, I'm a big joggers guy.
J-Wall, big joggers guy.
I know. Yeah, but just throwing it out there. But look, it's early this week, the USGA conforming list dropped photos of the new Epic Speed driver, Epic Max as well. You know, it's not out at retail yet. I know there's not a lot that you can say about the technical stuff, but can you kind of offer any sort of insights on what players, ROM included, are seeing with the new driver?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Xander Schauffele will have it in the bag this week. And, you know, it's been extremely well received so far. You know, each year, you know, driver launch is a little bit stressful on our part, you know, just trying to get it in the hands of every player and fit them. And, you know, a couple of things that, you know, we're seeing is obviously, you know, one of the things with any of the Epic line is always that's a speed line for us. But, you know, this year they've done a great job of really increasing the MOI. And so we've seen, you know, just tighter dispersions downrange, increased ball speed. But it's been wonderful as far as the conversion so far. Guys are moving into it quickly. You know, just today I've received several texts from some PGA guys, you know, just complimenting us on how well it is. And everyone, I think, is just excited and ready to go. And I think it's going to be an awesome product launch for us out on the PGA Tour. And then once it gets to retail, I just can't wait to see what it does.
Why do you guys have to tease us like this? The pictures pop up on USGA conforming list. The players are testing them, but we can't know about them yet. We can't hit them yet. What gives?
That's right. Be patient.
So you know, we're talking here about John Rahm in the way that he gets fit. What are some of the things that the average golfer can learn from a pro when it comes to fitting that maybe they aren't doing? What are people maybe doing or getting wrong that the pros are doing right when it comes to fitting?
Yeah, I think a great example, you know, on the golf ball is what John did is when you're looking for a golf ball, you know, start at the green and work yourself back into, you know, the irons and the wedges and then ultimately to the driver. So from a ball fitting standpoint, I would always start greenside. You know, one of the things with John, I think that, you know, he's so much of a feel player. He's not very technical oriented. During the fitting process, he had his swing coach come over. But yet there was no, you know, they weren't working on technique. He was there just to kind of get a feel for how the clubs were performing, as well as Adam Hayes, his caddy, was there. And so for us, you know, we wanted Team Rahm there. We were very open and transparent. We felt like, you know, we had an opportunity to impress all of them. And so, you know, it was a fun process, but with John, you know, he was playing golf, not golf swing, during the fitting process. And I think that, you know, I see it so many times when we do occasionally work with more of the amateur side is when they get into that fitting, they hit a couple bad shots and then they start trying to play golf swing instead of playing golf and just letting, you know, the equipment rep work with you and know that you're going to hit bad shots. So, you know, that would be my advice out there to the amateurs is when you do go get fit, you know, make sure that you don't fall into playing golf swing.
And when you're going to get fit, you know, make sure your fitter and your instructor are kind of on the same page as we've mm-hmm. talked about before. You know, amateurs can kind of get themselves in trouble when the instructor and the fitter are going two different ways.
Absolutely.
So Rom has become somewhat synonymous with a putter from a rival manufacturer. And I got to ask, where are you all in Rom, obviously, in the putter testing process? Is he testing Odyssey? Is he Toulon? Kind of where is he at the moment with the putter?
More to come on that, Jonathan. You know, Rom has been very involved in the putters and our team's working through that and that transition. We got some exciting news coming later in the year about a new putter and Rom's been a part of that. So
keep teasing us.
You know, I think that when it comes, you guys are going to be really excited and it's going to be something that really makes a splash in the market. So for now, that's really all I can share with you, but I can tell you that the transition's going really well, and I fully expect, you know, in the coming weeks that there will be something for you guys to write about and talk about.
You are killing us with the half answers.
Just teasing us. All right. You know, one of the things that I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably curious about, you know, your title is PGA Tour Manager, but I know it's a lot more than that. Can you kind of offer some insight into what it's like to be Callaway's PGA Tour manager? What does kind of a regular week look like for you when you're out on tour, and what are you doing on a week when you're not and you're off the road?
Sure. So, you know, ultimately, I think if you just summarize it in the most concise way as possible is, you know, our job and my job is to really have our players win and get hats on TV. So that's, you know, that's what we are trying to do.
Sounds easy.
So from there, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. It's making sure that, you know, I have an unbelievable team that works around me. You know, Kellen and Woody and Greg and Joe Toulon on the putting green and Dean. And I'm fortunate enough to work with Tim Reed, our VP of Global Sports Marketing, who I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but actually, you know, ran the R&D department when he was at Adams Golf with Chip Brewer. So, you know, working under him with his in-depth product knowledge and really keeping a pulse on the tour product has been fun. So, you know, it goes from everything of making sure that, you know, our players have everything they need each week from, you know, balls, hats, and gloves to, you know, making sure the truck is fully stocked with inventory and shafts and clubs. You know, making sure that as the players come that week, if they need help, you know, we're working closely on the analytics side to monitor if there's anything that's not working to get out ahead of it, you know, having meetings with, you know, the prospective players team, whether that could be, you know, the caddy, the agent, the instructor, you know, themselves sitting down, making sure we're aligned on all of the goals and what they're trying to accomplish. I think that Andrew kind of spoke to that early. You know, we kind of look at it as a wheel with different spokes on there, you know, and everybody is a different spoke. And in order for the wheel to be, you know, turning properly and rolling smoothly is we got to be all on the same sheet of music. So, you know, I think that that's really important for us is to kind of be, you know, that person. So it's fun. You know, it's a lot of travel. This time of year, it's exciting just because it's a little bit like the first day of school. We got some new friends and we got some new equipment. So I think we're excited to get out and see how it goes and get everyone fitted. We've been, you know, working with this new product now for, you know, several months through the prototyping stage. And once we finally get it to launch on tour and then eventually at retail, you know, it's just so much fun because we've seen this product go through all of the stages of development, all the way from infancy through prototyping to, you know, the final versions. And I think that it just kind of becomes personal to us. And we love to see it, you know, perform well and ultimately win on Sunday.
Towards the end of 2020, it seemed like long drivers were all people wanted to talk about and all we were talking about, mm-hmm. frankly. As you look forward to 2021, do you see long drivers still being relevant? Like, we were thinking that people were maybe going to go with a 48-inch and then a 44.5-inch driver, go to the two-driver setup. Do you see that becoming possible?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, this offseason we've been doing a ton of testing and fitting with players and long drivers. And with that, you know, it really changes the whole bag setup. And I think you just touched on it, Andrew, is I would not be surprised if you see multiple people this year play two drivers. And so, you know, from that, you know, there's some adjustments that need to be made. And so this started back for us, you know, several months ago. I think that we saw this coming and we pivoted and some of the things that we're doing, you know, the R&D team is trying to get out ahead of this, you know, to be prepared for the longer shaft and as well as, you know, working that top side of the bag to make sure that those gaps are performing properly and they're hitting those distances. So I think that 2021 is going to be, you know, very transformational on maybe, you know, the drivers and two drivers and longer shafts, but more so on how do you close all that gaps and really get, you know, each club that's in the bag working properly. So I think that it's going to be fun.
It's awesome. Jacob, thanks for hopping on Fully Equipped. We always appreciate the insight and congratulations on the ROM signing.
Thanks, guys. It was a team effort at Callaway and we're excited about it. So we wish you guys all the best.
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks. See ya.
And thanks again to Jacob Davidson from Callaway for the insight and the time. That'll do it for episode 73 of Fully Equipped. If you're looking for more gear news, check us out on social media. We're at @fully_equipped on Twitter. And @FullyEquippedGolf on Instagram. Thanks as always for listening. We'll see you around.